are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, January 14th, after Blake Day on Saturday in Los Angeles. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. My birthday weekend, and I'm working on the birthday, so I hope you guys appreciate the podcast coming out, doing this late Sunday for Monday's show, as I just covered the Michigan basketball team playing tonight for the Associated Press as well. A nice win over Northwestern there, and a buddy of mine, listener Mike, passed along an observation that he made about the Michigan basketball team that I wanted to pass along to you guys. And that he says that the Michigan basketball team reminds them a little bit of the 04 Pistons, the championship team there. And obviously that would be a good omen for Michigan kind of going forward there. But just kind of says, you know, everyone's talented, multidimensional, different guys stepping up every game, and not the slam dunk All-American on that group. And then, a respected coach that has a long track record of success, of very well regarded around the country, and John Beilein, of course, there compared to Larry Brown. But so thanks to listener Mike for that astute observation there. But today we're going to run down the win for the Pistons on Saturday against the Clippers. Oh, I forgot to play Mason. It's been so long since we played Mason that I forgot. We'll come back in the second segment with a little Mason Detroit basketball action there. We're also going to break down Blake's performance, which was sublime, did very well. We're also going to talk about tonight's game later on against the Utah Jazz, as the four-game road trip will end, and hopefully the Pistons can get back to 500 on it at 2-2 in the four-gamer after that tough start in the state of California. So I guess they went 1-2 against the California teams, avoiding Golden State this time around. Anyways, so Pistons win 109-104. Blake Griffin's return to Staples Center on Saturday afternoon, his first game against his old team in their arena. 44 points for Mr. Griffin. He was fantastic in all ways. 8 rebounds, 5 assists. And look, it's just nice. We're going to fawn over Blake a little bit today. Feels kind of good. But that lead almost disappeared in the fourth quarter. A little dicey there, and some more second quarter nightmares as well for Pistons fans. But 20 points and 21 rebounds for Andre Drummond. He came up big with some rebounds there in the fourth quarter. The Pistons were 16 of 37 from 3. That's 43%. Excellent work for the team there. 5 out of 10 from 3-point land for Reggie Bullock. He, of course, against his former team as well, a former first-round pick for the Clippers. And the much-maligned Pistons defense came up big at the end of the game, really with the last 7 or 8 minutes. Only a handful of field goals for the Clippers when it mattered, and the big steal to kind of finish the game off there by Bruce Brown to kind of seal the victory. On the Clippers had a chance to tie the game there late in that one. But to just starter heavy on the minutes, as we know, Reggie Jackson, Blake Griffin, and Andre Drummond all played 40 or more minutes in this one, and mostly because in that second quarter, which has been the Pistons' bugaboo lately without Ish Smith and Zaza Pachulia in the lineup, makes that second unit bad. So that was going so poorly that Dwayne Casey just yanked those guys early and went with the starters there in the second quarter to kind of stem the tide a little bit there. But 23 points for Danilo Gallinari, he was very good. 22 off the bench for Lou Williams, 21 off the bench for Montrezl Harrell. Those guys are, you know, reserves only in name only. They're obviously among the top 5 players on the Clippers and get a lot of minutes as well. But guys like Avery Bradley and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander instead get the start over those guys. Just one of those Michael Curry type of situations that they've got in LA right now. And the big focus from, other than Blake Griffin, obviously the other big part of that trade last January, Tobias Harris, who's been excellent for the Clippers this season. He had 11 points and 10 rebounds, a little bit bigger of a stage than usual, something we kind of came to expect with Tobias, especially with his lack of fourth quarter production in Detroit. And, you know, maybe that had something to do with it. Obviously a very good player, great dude, well-liked here in the fan base, and should be with the Detroit Pistons group here. But 4 of 9 from the field, while Blake drops 44 and really, you know, sticks us to his old team, basically. And speaking of other guys in the trade, Avery Bradley, he started and scored 3 points in 22 minutes. I basically forgot he was on the court for most of the game, even when he was out there, which is only 22 minutes. And like I said, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the rookie out of Kentucky. Just not very good. You know, 7 points in 17 minutes. And that's what a mid-first-round rookie looks like many nights in the NBA. And he's a promising prospect. SGA should be a good player, and he's getting a lot of publicity for how strong his rookie season is. But, I don't know, can you count on those guys in big moments? And when we talk about tanking, when we talk about the reliance on the draft, you know, that's something to keep in mind, that those guys don't look very good, especially in their rookie seasons. And Boban, by the way, got the DNP, did not play in this one. Marcin Gortat, the starting center for the Clippers. This was the first time in a while that the game got started, and I felt pretty good about the starting center matchup for the Pistons with Andre Drummond and Marcin Gortat, which is not something you should probably have to think or say about a rumored potential all-star. He's not an all-star, but the Pistons' Twitter account really pushing it out there for Andre Drummond's all-star campaign. The Pistons now 18-23, five games under 500, snapped the four-game losing streak with the win, now tied for ninth in the Eastern Conference with Orlando, Wednesday's opponent, but still only a half game out of the eighth spot, a half game out of the playoffs as it stands right now in the Eastern Conference, and just three games out of the sixth spot, which is Miami right now. And all that, you know, we talk about the teams right ahead, it all seems a little bit more attainable given the upcoming slate. Pistons tonight in Utah, but then Wednesday back at home for the first of three. You got Orlando on Wednesday, Friday at home against Miami, Saturday, the second half of a back-to-back at home against the Sacramento Kings. And that's two red-letter games in there, back-to-back on Wednesday and Friday at home with Orlando and Miami. Obviously big ones there. But up next, we're going to talk more about Blake Griffin, what his talent means to this season and the future of the Detroit Pistons. But the Locked On Podcast Network, we're doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. You should check it out on both of those platforms. The handle is Locked On NBA Net. Good stuff on both of those platforms. From the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to look ahead to tonight's game on the road at Utah. But first, some more about Saturday. Blake Griffin, 44 points. And remember that he rested on Thursday against Sacramento, an embarrassing effort for the Pistons there, but only the second game this season that he missed. So see a little bit of the value from rest there, obviously, as Blake Griffin's clocked a lot of minutes this season and throughout his NBA career as well with all the injuries that he's had in the background as well. But he was 5 of 13 from three-point land on Saturday. That is, by the way, a career high in threes attempted by Blake Griffin, and by two. I mean, his previous career high was 11, so that's a lot, you know, just to throw up 13 threes like that. You could tell he was kind of big game hunting. He was dagger hunting throughout the game, but just a superstar performance by a guy, you know, who should be a slam dunk all-star in the East, as we've talked about on the show, and we will continue to talk about as the all-star game is approaching next month. But before the game, the nice cheers in the introductions for Blake Griffin, and in the first timeout, the video tribute, Fox Sports Detroit stayed with the timeout, showed the video in a split screen of Blake Griffin, who was obviously checking it out. You saw parts of it, and he was listening to the huddle too, but you could see that he was watching it out of the corner of his eye and checking up on it, and pretty cool. All those good feelings that you get with the old fans, and obviously the Clipper fans, they adore Blake Griffin. It's not, you know, he made them relevant. He turned this from a sorriest franchise in sports to, you know, just kind of passing by and becoming a regular franchise. Someone that made the playoffs consistently and didn't really make long runs like they would have hoped with that nucleus that they had. But certainly one of the better decades or so for any team of the last 10 years that Blake Griffin was in Clipper land. I know he was only there for 8 years, but of the last decade or so. But the Ballmer incident, he said Blake Griffin at the during warmups sprinted off the court after his pregame routine was finished, something that he says he does every time. I should know this, and I should know of this, but I did not know of this. But nobody has said he does not do this after during or after warmups, so no reason to believe that he's lying about that. But it, you know, the video from the back seemed to shun the Clippers owner Steve Ballmer, who was looking to stay high and extended the arm and called out his name. Again, Blake, after the game, said it was nothing. Taylor Griffin, his older brother, tweeted during the game that it was a made-up story that people were trying to blow up, but certainly the optics were that he was blowing off the former owner who traded him. And who knows, you know, it's not really important. Ballmer, we know he's a goofball, mostly in a good way, I would say, if you're a Clippers fan. But a local guy, by the way, in case you didn't know, a Detroit Country Day grad and Steve Ballmer of Microsoft fame. But Blake had 26 in the first half, made some big plays late, as well as and credit to the other Pistons for stepping up and playing well with him, giving, you know, better effort. That was one of the team's best efforts of the season, I would say. And some interesting quotes. Doc Rivers before the game said, quote, "Blake got this started, 6 playoffs in a row. It doesn't equate to being the winner because we didn't do that, but it equates to winning. Blake was part of that. Now when you hear our name, you don't think of those bad Clippers before Blake," end quote. And Blake Griffin's quote from the game, and he talked to reporters afterwards in the hallway, here's what he had to say. "It was nice to get that game over with. I kind of compare it to the first game of the year in a way. There's such a big hype leading up to it, and then once it's done, you have to play 81 more. Now we have to play 41 more or whatever it is. It's over, and I'm moving on. They're moving on," end quote. So Doc Rivers said that Blake Griffin and he still have not talked since the trade. And by the way, the return meeting between these two teams is coming up on February 2nd in Detroit. So right around the corner, we're going to do all these conversations and talk about these teams and these characters yet again. And another strange time for that one, too, 5 p.m. on a Saturday in downtown Detroit. Groundhog Day, by the way, a big holiday there. Will Blake see his shadow when he plays against the Clippers will be the big question about how long the winter will be. And speaking of winter, how about that Game of Thrones trailer coming out April 14th? They got the date. I hope you're a Thrones fan, just like anyone who enjoys quality things like that. But and the Clippers, by the way, I was just not impressed with them on Saturday. And I know it's hard to watch one game. I don't watch a lot of Clippers. I have seen some games this year, but I'm skeptical. I don't think this is a team that's right, you know, 5-6 in the Western Conference, somewhere in there. But we know how much of a cluster mess that is right now in that part of the Western Conference standings. So I'm going to say that they're going to be the team that goes out and that Utah replaces them in the Western Conference playoffs, as far as getting in the teams that are outside of it right now that'll get in, and the teams that are inside of it that will get bounced out. I just think the Clippers, and Lou Williams is a gunner. I do like Montrezl Harrell a lot. He complained throughout the entire game. He was just, I don't know if that's a every game thing for him, that he just whines as much as he did, which has got to be old to watch if you're watching that every day in and night out. But obviously a guy who competes is tough in the mold of some of the old Pistons players that we know from the past. So Harrell's certainly a guy that you enjoy watching for the most part play basketball. And Tobias Harris, just that sweet stroke. I mean, he's getting a career best from three-point percentage right now, and it looks pure. It just looks really good. Just obviously puts a lot of time into his three-point shooting and has for the last couple years, and credit to him for what he's been able to do with the Clippers. I don't think he's an all-star just because of the Western Conference. He would certainly be an Eastern Conference all-star, but I got him outside of the all-star game right now. I just think that you got to share some of the wealth of what the Clippers were able to do. Lou Williams, again, having another strong year. And Danilo Gallinari, by the way, is a guy who's like a fringe all-star himself. He will not make it. But, again, he would be an Eastern Conference all-star, I believe. And he's very good. I was very impressed with him. He's been dogged by injuries throughout a lot of his career. But putting it together right now for the Clippers. And credit to Doc Rivers and the organization for making a bold move, resetting things a little bit, and taking a new path, and they should be able to maybe attract some free agents this summer, and we'll see how that goes going forward for Blake Griffin's former team, the Los Angeles Clippers. But and will the Pistons make that kind of big move coming up? Probably not the deadline, but maybe this offseason, looking ahead and trying to retool things around a Blake Griffin, who is the Blake Griffin that Pistons hoped for when they made the trade last year, and we'll see how it all turns out. Now, obviously, the next step will be tonight against Utah. We're going to talk about that game next. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Hey, did you get a smart speaker over the holidays, or is that maybe none of my business? I don't want to get into your personal stuff here, but do you go ahead and tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On Pistons. That'll get you going on Amazon Alexa, on OK Google. Google Play, I guess, is OK Google. That was like the new Radiohead album, OK Google. But Play podcast Locked On Pistons. That'll get you your newest episode there with the smart speakers. But the Utah Jazz tonight, the last of a four-game road trip for the Pistons, a 9 o'clock start Eastern Standard Time in Salt Lake City. Another late night for this guy and many of you too. And another infuriating loss to the Utah Jazz a couple weeks back. We remember that the loss in Detroit last January was one of them that kind of led the Pistons down to last year's tailspin. And we are in the midst of another tailspin right now, despite Saturday's victory. And we will see if this team is tough enough and good enough to respond and claw their way back closer to 500 and back into the Eastern Conference playoff standings. The Pistons led that one by 18 points after one quarter, maybe their best first quarter of the season, probably their best first quarter of the season, and just sucked completely after that. That was kind of the beginning of the second quarter woes that they've been having. Donovan Mitchell in the second half, he had 2 points in the first half, but just drove the stake into the heart in the second half for the Jazz. Big plays in the fourth quarter by him. And including that game, the Jazz are in a 5-win over 6-games stretch, so they've won 5 out of 6. They're 23-21 this season. And by the way, the Pistons are at the midpoint of the season right now, 41 games in. Mitchell has 3 straight 30-plus games point-wise for the Utah Jazz. He had 26 that night in Detroit, 26 the next game, and then followed that up with 33, 33, and 34. So the second-year player out of Louisville, who was just, you know, a lot of talk about him having kind of a sophomore slump, but I think he's obviously bounced back majorly in the past couple weeks. And by the way, his role is a little bit different right now because you got the 3 best point guards in the Utah Jazz are out right now. And those 3 of them, from all I can read, I believe they're all going to miss tonight's game as well. Raul Neto, the Brazilian backup point guard who played well against the Pistons, he'll be out tonight. Adding to the list of Dante Exum and Ricky Rubio. Those guys are out. And that's, like I said, that's the top 3 point guards on Quinn Snyder's roster. We remember that Exum had that ugly turn of the ankle and got hurt actually in Detroit and has not played since then. So, you know, just like the Clippers in some ways, it's a nice matchup for the Pistons who are susceptible to big games against opposing point guards. Well, you're looking at the Utah roster, there doesn't appear to be that guy for Utah tonight who's going to be exposing the problems defensively that the Pistons have in the backcourt. Now, if they're basically playing Donovan Mitchell at point guard, then that creates its own, you know, matchup problems for the Pistons, but maybe that could be a situation where we might see a little Bruce Brown at point guard like I think we did for a couple plays before, but not having that traditional point guard to have to defend, maybe this could be a situation where you could cut Jose Calderon's minutes a little bit, which I know would make a lot of you guys happy on Pistons Twitter and a lot of your podcast hosts happy as well. But like I said, Donovan Mitchell, ball in his hands a lot more, scoring as well. And another change for this Utah Jazz team from a couple weeks back is that Grayson Allen is back, the rookie from Duke, who I know everyone across the league just loves that guy. I say that tongue-in-cheek, obviously. He missed the game in Detroit because of an injury. He is back now. And the Jazz just kind of feasting on a soft schedule lately, which is what you've got to do in the National Basketball Association. And you know I'm being serious because I said National Basketball Association. If an analyst says that, of course, we know what we're talking about. But the Pistons, 8-point dogs for the second straight game. That was the number on Saturday in L.A. against the Clippers as well. So maybe that's a good omen there. But anytime you're 8-point, you know, underdogs, you're going to get the big win there. So we'll see if the Pistons can finish the 4-game road trip at 2-2 in the most unconventional way ever, losing to the LeBron-less Lakers and then Sacramento, and then possibly recovering for the 2 tougher games, the Clippers and the Jazz. If we're being optimistic and thinking that the Pistons have a shot tonight, which I do, I think the Pistons have a shot of getting this one. Although we remember going back my whole life, it seems like Utah's basically been a house of horrors for the Pistons. Isaiah Thomas got his face exploded by Karl Malone there. And it just seems like this is the kind of, it seems like in Utah that they just get demolished, especially these bad teams over the past decade or so just go to Utah and just get hammered. And maybe I'll look that up for tomorrow's show about what the numbers are as far as the margin of losses and stuff like that. And maybe I was just imagining that. But like I said, smart speaker, Amazon Alexa, and Google Play say play podcast Locked On Pistons. That'll get you started with the most recent episode. And again, one more road game tonight in Utah. Give us a follow on Twitter. I enjoy interacting with you guys during the games at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check out the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Give us a rating and review on iTunes while you're following all these directions very closely, like I know you guys do. But this is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow about the Utah game. We'll look ahead a little bit to the upcoming homestand, and we'll come up with some other topics to talk about. I owe you guys a show about Tom Gores sometime soon. I'm looking for a Fan of the Year quarterly nomination. We had Corey was the first quarter fan nominee of the year. Maybe we can get a second quarter nominee started. And also some trade talk as the deadline is coming up on February 7th. What can the Pistons get for Reggie Bullock is my question there. What do you think? Give us a call and leave a voicemail at 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. What do you think about the trades? Do you have any ideas? Do you like my idea of trading Reggie Bullock? And what do you think the Pistons could get for him? Leave us a voicemail. We'll play those on the show. So, again, thanks for listening, everyone, and have a good day.